This is ESPN Radio.
We might have to pop the phone lines open now because nothing's going on today, far as I can check. Here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up, and so are the fans, after last night especially. Good God. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. And, yeah, Chris, it's a shame that between the college football playoff rankings last night, excluding Cincinnati, the Atlanta Braves managing to not do the most Atlanta thing possible, and everyone in the NFL just deciding to be the worst version of themselves today when it comes to COVID-19 and the pandemic, we really had nothing to talk about here.
No, it's unbelievable, man, what's going on. We should be talking about the Atlanta Braves exercising demons that haunt the Atlanta sports fans' nightmares. But then we also have the opportunity to talk about the college football playoff rankings. But, of course, Aaron Rodgers wants to make himself, once again, the center of the conversation for all the wrong reasons. And, Mike, if he wants that smoke, we're here to give it to him, because what he did in violating the COVID protocols was absolutely ridiculous. It was reckless. And it puts so many other people at risk, and we just got to get into it because there was really no good reason for him to go down this road. It almost gives me more respect for guys like Cole Beasley and Kirk Cousins and Carson Wentz that have openly discussed the vaccination status and said that they weren't going to get the vaccine shot and going about following the league protocols and all of those different things. But for Aaron Rodgers to do what he did, like, it's just, it's inexcusable.
Yeah, so for anyone who's missed the news, let's set the table here quick. Because Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID-19 and will not play against the Kansas City Chiefs, according to sources telling ESPN. So right off the bat there, we saw that in this game week here. Then people started doing the math on when he would be available to return from the COVID-19 list. It would be a timeline that would be aligned if a player were not vaccinated and tested positive for COVID-19. Then we get the reports coming into ESPN that the NFL has considered Aaron Rodgers unvaccinated since the start of the season, first reported by the NFL Network. Aaron Rodgers had an alternative treatment prior to the start of training camp, sources told ESPN. He then petitioned the NFL for that treatment to allow him to be considered the same as someone who received one of the approved vaccination doses. After a lengthy back and forth, the league ruled that Rodgers would not get the same consideration and would not be considered unvaccinated. Sources also said Rodgers was following mask protocols while interacting with players and coaches inside the team's headquarters at Lambeau. However, as a lot of us I'm sure have seen while watching Packers press conferences and the like, Rodgers did not wear a mask while in the media auditorium during his weekly post-game news conferences. The Packers have put other unvaccinated players on Zoom instead of doing the in-person media session. So, Chris, that's where we stand on all of this in a way that, like you said, seems ridiculous and deceitful for a guy in Aaron Rodgers who we go all the way back to August when he was asked about his vaccination status by the media and said that he was immunized, but did not fully go into his vaccination status, and now we see why.
Yeah, and he was asked a direct question by the media about what his status was, and he intimated that he was vaccinated, but he used the term immunized to mislead the media into thinking that he was, in fact, vaccinated for COVID-19 when he actually wasn't. He engaged in alternative treatment, but in the eyes of the NFL, he's an unvaccinated player, and so he's responsible for following the protocols that come along with that to keep his teammates safe, to keep the coaching staff safe, to keep all of the medical staff, the equipment managers safe, but also the media members that have a job to do that he engages on a daily basis safe. And the fact that he did none of those things is the part that's most disturbing to me. And that's why I feel like the NFL has got to step in, because it's clear that they have a fine schedule. They have some type of discipline schedule that's in place. And we'll find out a little bit more about that later on in the show. But, I mean, for Aaron Rodgers to knowingly fly in the face of all of those different protocols and kind of do what he wants to do when it comes to a virus that's claimed over 700,000 American lives, that part about it is unacceptable to me. And Roger Goodell and the Green Bay Packers organization have to step in and do something about it.
Yeah, Chris, so looking at this situation, and we're hearing reports that apparently Packers players were aware that Aaron Rodgers was considered unvaccinated, but the media was not in this instance. And the people inside that room, based on what we had been told publicly, did not know. Again, this was Aaron Rodgers back in August when asked about his vaccination status.
Are you vaccinated and what's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized. You know, there's a lot of conversation around it, around the league, and a lot of guys who have made statements and I've made statements, owners who made statements. You know, there's guys on the team that haven't been vaccinated. I think it's a personal decision. I'm not going to judge those guys.
That is straight up deceitful then.
That's like, a lie. Right? Like, let's call it what it is.
That is an out and out lie in this instance, publicly talking about this situation, Chris. And don't get me wrong. Like, what's happening here is Aaron Rodgers is dictating what goes on in that building. We've seen that happen in a football sense in the offseason. We see that happen all over sports in a lot of sense when it comes to the actual on-field play or the way things go inside the building on normal things. Chris, this is the one instance that cannot be the way, and that cannot be something, you're right, the NFL tolerates, the NFLPA tolerates, because it directly affects the other people that the Players Association are supposed to be in charge of looking out for the well-being of, the other players who are following the rules, who just don't happen to be a generationally talented quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the problem that I have with this, Mike, which is why I feel like this has to be taken out of the Green Bay Packers' hands. Like, even listening to Matt LaFleur and what he had to say today about trying to follow the protocols and Aaron being in compliance with that when he clearly wasn't, when we clearly have video evidence, when we have visual evidence that he hasn't been wearing masks on the sideline when he doesn't have his helmet on, that he's not masked when he's doing interviews with media personnel, where we see other members of the Green Bay Packers doing Zoom calls, players that aren't vaccinated. So it just doesn't make sense to come back and back Aaron Rodgers after this news comes out, which leads me to believe that the Green Bay Packers organization is not capable of disciplining Aaron Rodgers for this misstep, or I don't even know if I can call it a misstep. It's a decision that he made to consciously jeopardize other people's health by misleading us on his vaccination status. It's egregious, it's reckless, and Roger Goodell has to absolutely do something about it. And you know what? I'm not sure where this falls, whether it's a fine, whether it's a suspension, but it needs to be something that's heavy-handed from the NFL, if for no other reason, to send a message to everybody else around the National Football League about how they're going to handle COVID-19 and how they're going to handle vaccinations moving forward.
Yeah, this is going to be curious for me, Chris, on the front of what the NFL allows, because right now, all we've seen publicly, or at least all I've been able to track down, is that unvaccinated players in the NFL would be subject to a fine of $14,650 every time they violate COVID-19 procedures. And we've seen some of those fines handed out. But where does it go beyond that here? Because the only thing I think so far that we've seen that's likened to this was in the NHL. Evander Kane got suspended for 21 games as a result of reportedly presenting a fake COVID-19 vaccination card. That is a quarter of the NHL season, Chris. That league chose to, when a player was deceitful with their vaccination status, go and suspend them for a quarter of the season. Now, in this instance, Chris, Aaron Rodgers was not deceitful with the Packers. It sounds like everyone in there knew what was going on. He was deceitful with the media partners that were in the room here, and that's where this gets gray, is not only did it seem like he was being allowed to do things that others would not be by his team, but that also now put the people in that media room in a compromised position because they were the ones that indeed didn't know.
No question about it, and you can't jeopardize somebody else's well-being because you want to make a choice and you don't want to be criticized for making said choice. Because I think that's what it ultimately comes down to. Like, when Aaron Rodgers was asked a line of questioning about COVID-19 and whether or not he was vaccinated, I mean, he came out and said it. He basically said, I'm not going to chastise teammates who weren't vaccinated. Guys haven't been vaccinated. It's a personal choice. I'm not going to judge those guys. Basically, what he was trying to lead the media into thinking is that he was vaccinated, but that there are other people that aren't vaccinated. That's not going to fly. That is a lie. And so the NFL has to step in because the Green Bay Packers nor Aaron Rodgers were compliant when it comes to the rules that the NFL and the NFLPA established when it came to protocols surrounding COVID-19. They put those things in place to keep people safe, to try to protect people's lives, to try to protect people's livelihoods. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers would think he's above it all and that he doesn't have to comply when the other 2,000 guys around the NFL are, is absolutely ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous. It's something that we are waiting to see what the response from the league is going to look like on this. But again, in the immediacy here, and something we can get into in a little bit, is this also means that Aaron Rodgers will not be on the field for the Packers as they get set to play the Chiefs on Sunday coming up here. So Aaron Rodgers out after testing positive for COVID-19 and the discovery that he is now unvaccinated after previously intimating otherwise. We'll get into a lot more of that, but coming up next in about 30 seconds, we got to dive into what we saw last night in the ranks of college football here. The College Football Playoff Committee put out their first round of rankings, and you can rest assured people were mad online. We will get to why after this word from AT&T. All right, if there are family members and friends you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry. It's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T is offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new. So AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details.
Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State. Who's number four?
Oregon. This furthers the point that Cincinnati ultimately does not control its own destiny. They're at the mercy of what transpires in the Power Five.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And the first round of college football playoff rankings came out last night. If you hadn't seen them yet for whatever reason, Georgia checks in at number one, followed by Alabama at two, one loss Alabama, undefeated Michigan State at three, one loss Oregon at four, one loss Ohio State at five, undefeated Cincinnati at six, followed by Michigan, Oklahoma, Wake Forest, and Notre Dame rounding things out at 10. Lots to digest here. And so to help us out with that, ESPN college football writer and the woman with her ear to the door of the committee's room in Texas, each and every week these rankings come out, Heather Dinich joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. Heather, how are you?
I'm good. Now I've got my ear to the door of the commissioner's meeting here in Dallas to see if they're going to expand this playoff. Well, it could help Cincinnati, couldn't it?
Well, Heather, like, let's start there because that was, I think, one of the big reactions from last night. Cincinnati, despite being undefeated, owning that win against Notre Dame and IU both on the road, finds themselves on the outside looking in. So do you think that's going to have a ripple effect into the conversations that are going on right now as it pertains to expansion?
I think that it's certainly going to add some fuel to the fire, but I don't think there's going to be any knee-jerk reaction to change it because of the first ranking. I mean, this is one of the reasons that playoff expansion has been considered over the past however many months, right? It's because they want to open it up to more access. The question is, when does it happen? How does it happen? And what does it look like? I still believe that they're trending towards a 12-team format eventually, but I'm not convinced that they're going to leave Dallas here agreeing on it yet.
Heather, one of the things that surprised me the most about the CFP rankings was Alabama being at two, the committee not punishing them for that loss on the road to Texas A&M as much as some would have thought. What did you make of that, and could we be talking about potentially a two-loss Alabama team still finding a way to make it into the college football playoffs final rankings?
We could be talking about that. I think that it would be very difficult for them to justify unless we are talking about a very close, instant thriller, instant classic, overtime type situation where Alabama loses a close one. Here's the thing. Because they're sitting there at number two with one loss, you can't close the door entirely on that possibility, but I think ultimately this thing is going to play itself out. But as for Alabama being a one-loss team right now ahead of those undefeated teams, clearly the selection committee likes the eye test, right? I mean, when you look at Alabama since that loss to the Aggies, they have outscored their opponents 101-33. They're in the top five in both offensive and defensive efficiency. And when you look at who their best win is against, you can still find Ole Miss in the rankings there, and they've got the Aggies ranked. So the win isn't that great, but it's, you know, the loss apparently isn't that bad either. So I think it's a combination of those factors.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN college football writer Heather Dinich. Heather, the other one that jumped out to a lot of people was Oregon sitting there at 4. They own one of the best wins this season against Ohio State earlier in the year out of conference. But what else about the Ducks' resume prompted the committee to put them at 4?
Well, it's the fact that they continue to find ways to win in spite of being decimated by injuries. They also recognize that their offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead, was not at the game for health reasons when they lost to Stanford. I mean, that, you know, they didn't talk about that a lot publicly yesterday, but they certainly talk about that behind closed doors. And so when you look at what Oregon has done, yes, you mentioned that win, but I think that they've just been impressed with Oregon's ability to continue to find ways to win. That speaks a lot to their depth, but also they honored that head-to-head, right? And then when you factor that into the equation, you see where everybody else lands. I think it's important, though, guys, to remember that we've seen head-to-head start out one way and finish another. And when you look at what Ohio State has down the stretch with opportunities against Michigan and Michigan State, which are two top 25, well, top 10 teams in the CFP ranking right now, it wouldn't surprise me in the least to see the Buckeyes finish on top of the Ducks in spite of what happened on September 11th in Columbus.
Heather, you mentioned finding a way to win. We could easily, you know, make that euphemism for Oklahoma's season so far as they sit here an undefeated Power 5 team all the way down at 8 right now. So what was the difference for them in the committee's eyes?
Well, one of the things that they really struggled with, which is kind of interesting, is the positions of Wake Forest and Oklahoma, which are obviously both undefeated teams, but they really like what they see from Caleb Williams. And Gary Barta, the selection committee chair, talked yesterday about how impressed they have been with them. And he actually mentioned, you know, not only has Caleb Williams ignited the offense, he thinks that he might have impacted the entire team. But that being said, a win against Texas doesn't amount to much right now. The Longhorns aren't ranked in the top 25, so when you look at their body of work, they don't have a win against a ranked opponent, and they are ranked number 62, I want to say, in defensive efficiency. So the Sooners have a lot of work to do, but at the same time, they've got the chance to do it and show it, because two of their next three opponents this month, Baylor and Oklahoma State, are both in the top 25. It's not going to be easy to beat Iowa State either. So if you're an Oklahoma fan, I mean, I wouldn't be worried at all, because they've got a chance to really leapfrog into that top four consideration.
Heather, I'm an ACC guy, but I'm also a realist, and you just outlined a path for Oklahoma to be able to get there based on the remaining schedule that they have. But Wake Forest, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to figure out how they could get into the Final Four in the college football playoff rankings. I just don't see a path for it with them having Carolina, NC State, Clemson, and Boston College on the slate, as well as the ACC championship game. Is there a way that they could do this? Is there a way that they can control their own destiny, or do they need a lot of help in order to get in the Final Four?
I want to know if you're smiling a little bit while you're asking me that question. You saying it with a straight face? I want to know. No, listen. The Deeks have done a great job. Dave Clawson has done an outstanding coaching job. It's a historic season for them. But look, if you're going to poke holes in Cincinnati's resume and put them under the microscope, it is the exact same thing for Wake Forest. I mean, it really is. Obviously, Cincinnati has a win at Notre Dame, and Wake Forest doesn't have anything near that. But, I mean, that's what we're talking about. And one of those points of discussion in that debate I was talking to you about between Oklahoma and Wake Forest is defensive struggles as well. So, I mean, if somehow by miracle they wind up finishing the season undefeated, I don't even think that that's enough. But ESPN's FPI right now projects them to lose 3 of the next 4.
Going to be a wild finish to the season. Like you mentioned, a ton of high-profile ranked matchups that are going to ultimately decide this on the field, despite what's been set forth by the committee after this first week. Heather, we appreciate the time and the insight. I'm sure we'll be knocking on your door each and every week here, so we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
At CFB Heather on Twitter. Follow her updates on everything she just mentioned here. What's going on with the concept and the conversation surrounding expansion going on amongst the college commissioners right now. And, of course, the college football playoff rankings every week.
No love for the ACC, Gojo. No love.
It is amazing.
They ain't
Chris.
Got no love for Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Unbelievable.
I mean, it is amazing. We talk about every year Clemson goes in highly ranked and then beats an ACC, especially last year that was largely devoid of top quality teams, and still finds their way in here. And Wake Forest is just over here scoring half a hundred in every game, wondering where the love is.
Yeah, I don't understand it, man. I mean, they put up 45 against Duke, and then they threw up a 70 piece against Army the week before. Not saying much about the opponents, but, I mean, they can score with anybody in college football. If they ran the table and still didn't get consideration for the top four, I don't know, man. That'd be tough to stomach. I mean, they are a Power 5 conference.
They are. And Sam Howell, their quarterback, goes to one of the great Bachelor Pipeline programs in the country right now. Two former Wake Forest Demon Deacons have been on The Bachelor or Bachelorette during their time. Matt James, most recently The Bachelor. So I'm just saying, he could have a pro future in something other than sports. That college football preview is brought to you by AT&T. It's not complicated. Everyone deserves something new. So AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Coming up next, it is all bad in Cleveland right now. Why the trade deadline coming and going does not change what could be the fate for one of the Browns' best players. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, and it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because, Chris, I thought it was safe to assume that the weirdest thing we were going to see today coming into work was Aaron Rodgers apparently lying about his vaccine status and now being out for their game Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, by the way, I know I said I quit the Kansas City Chiefs, Chris.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, this is about as good a get-right spot as they're going to find, right?
So are you fresh out of rehab looking for it again?
I
don't understand. You got over the drug that was the Kansas City Chiefs after their lackluster performance on Monday Night Football against my Giants, even though they came away with the win. You bailed from the bandwagon. You said you were done. You said you were done taking in whatever the Kansas City Chiefs were trying to sell you, and now you're just back on it.
Chris,
you're having a relapse.
I saw there's reports, Patrick Mahomes working on his footwork. I heard Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live breaking down how the feet aren't matching up with the upper body right now. So Mahomes taking that coaching in, internalizing it, getting better here. Chance against the Packers secondary. I'm not saying I'm back on it, but if there were a time to maybe plug the crock pot back in, this might be that time.
You know what I would love is if Jordan Love went out there and lit up the Chiefs for like 400 yards and three passing touchdowns, and they ended up getting the dub. That's what I would love, because it would send a message to Aaron Rodgers, but it would also let you know that the Kansas City Chiefs are done for the year. Like they're gone in November, put it that way. Not gone till November. They'll be gone in November. Their season will be over before we actually get to Thanksgiving. You got to stop holding on to this hope for the Kansas City Chiefs, man. They've already shown you who they are. It's not going to change this year.
You know what, Chris? You're right. Thank you for being a good friend and keeping me away from myself. Honestly.
Yeah, you like Pookie in New Jack City, man. I just got to be careful with you. You just keep getting hooked on the drug that is the Kansas City Chiefs.
I can't help it, man. They've been good to me for so long here.
They just keep calling you. Keep calling you.
They calling me. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of things that we can't quit, the Cleveland Browns can't seem to quit Odell Beckham Jr. right now, despite all signs pointing to him wanting to quit them. Odell Beckham Jr. has an excused absence from practice today. He is not there after yesterday we talked about an 11-minute video posted by Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad. I'm putting it in quotes here to make sure everyone knows that Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad did not act alone in this. Posting an 11-minute video of all the times Odell was open while Baker Mayfield was not getting him the ball. And so Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, got asked about this at their presser today. Here's what he had to say.
Odell will not be out there. He's been excused. Andrew Berry and his representatives are continuing to talk. So for today, Odell will not be out there. Yeah, I think they're discussing a lot of things. And the truth is, guys, I don't have a ton of details for you. I'm happy to answer as much as I can. But I think some things we'll know more as we go.
What kind of distraction? Has he asked to be released?
Yeah, again, that's something that I think his reps and Andrew would talk through.
What kind of distraction is this for you, Kevin, with those videos and all this talk?
Yeah, I think, Jeff, we work really hard in this building to concern ourselves with things that are going on in this building and concern ourselves with the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's really where we get laser focused on the task at hand.
Are you preparing to play Sunday without Odell at this point?
I'm really just worried about today, Jake. He's excused today.
Excuse the dig. My God, I was waiting for Kevin Stefanski halfway to say, video? What video? I don't know what you're talking about here, but Chris, it's impossible to ignore this anymore. Like, I know we've done this song and dance about Odell trying to make it work in this offense, why it can still be viable on the field. This seems to have reached a boiling point here that the Browns mistimed. Like, we went past the NFL trade deadline yesterday with nothing happening here, and that's going to prove more and more of a mistake to not get something in return for this guy.
Yeah, that's what it's starting to feel like, because it's clear that the two sides can move forward. There isn't really a clear path in terms of being able to repair the relationship that Baker and Odell have. No matter what Baker Mayfield might say, and our very own Kimberly Martin just said that Baker Mayfield, everybody wants to see Odell Beckham Jr. succeed. I don't know that that necessarily means they want him to succeed in Cleveland. Like, this might be a situation where you want to make sure that he eats, just not at the same table with you. And it feels like it's going that direction. And the problem that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have on their hands is that the post that you're talking about from Odell Beckham Sr. was liked by two of Baker Mayfield's current teammates, which is Rashard Higgins and John Johnson. And so you could be talking about a situation where this Odell, I guess, issue is starting to, divide your locker room. We know that Odell Beckham Jr. in the past has been a polarizing player, and that's in part why the New York Football Giants moved on from him, because he decided he was going to do a sit-down interview with Josina Anderson and Lil Wayne talking about whether or not Eli Manning was the guy. Like, you don't want to find yourself in that same position where the Cleveland Browns are obviously trying to figure out whether or not Baker Mayfield is their guy and whether they should commit to him moving forward. Like, this Odell situation adds another layer on top of the organization trying to figure out their path forward with quarterbacks. So I just feel like for both sides, it makes sense to part company. The only issue with Cleveland is, do you really want to cut him, knowing that there are other teams in the AFC that you're competing with for a playoff spot that need a wide receiver? Teams like the Baltimore Ravens, teams like the Las Vegas Raiders, teams like the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you really want to gift wrap Odell Beckham Jr. to any of them? If I was Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski, I wouldn't. So I'm not sure that they could actually cut him either. I think this might be a situation where they have to put him off to the side for the rest of the season. He might be on the roster, but he doesn't have to be active. You don't have to pay. You don't have to play him. You do have to pay him. I think that might end up having to be the scenario for Odell, because it's clear that if you bring him into that locker room, he's such a polarizing figure and he's such a mercurial character. He has players gravitate toward him. That could be an issue in terms of making sure that everybody is on the same page on that football team.
Yeah, and he's going to have a lot of people taking his side because of what he's been, not necessarily what he is right now, right? Between injury and productivity, we haven't seen the version of Odell Beckham Jr. that took the league by storm in a while. So instead, what you've got now is a situation where, like you said, you're trying to find out about your quarterback in an environment that would only improve if the play improved, if the winning improved. What have we seen? Baker's got a broken shoulder basically right now out there. It looked abysmal in this last game. We think all of a sudden there's going to be the production you need to right this ship in a timely fashion. Highly, highly doubtful. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Whew. I mean, we're taking news through a fire hose right now. Coming up next, the one player we've spent more time talking about this offseason in the NBA that has somehow found himself the beneficiary of all of this NFL news dump finally rose to the top of the pile, and I know Chris Canty's got something to say about him. We'll get to that next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Mike Golic Jr. at Chris Canty 99. On the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed is where you can find us here on Canty and Golic Jr. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I have two tweets that I need to alert you guys to. One is going to make you very happy. The other is going to make you want to scream into the nearest pillow. So I will go the scream into the pillow one first so we can get this out of the way here. Okay. Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers, when asked if he knew Aaron Rodgers wasn't vaccinated before today, said, quote, "That's not for me to say. I believe that's HIPAA.
Come on, Aaron. Come on, Aaron. Both Aarons in Green Bay. Come on, bruh. Stop it. You can answer this question. You know why? You're not a doctor.
Yeah, it's
you're not.
You think at this point we'd have some understanding of this HIPAA by now? We've tried to use it as a meat shield for so long and failed miserably. Good God.
You're not the medical staff for the Green Bay Packers, bro. You're not that. I know they paid you a bunch of money this offseason,
but that's
just to run the ball and to catch the ball. That's it.
Dr. Aaron Jones.
Stop yourself.
Dr. Aaron Jones.
Although it does sound like somebody that should be on Grey's Anatomy, though, right? Like
that is Dr. A fair
Aaron
point.
Jones. Yeah,
oh, my.
It does have that kind of ring to it.
The newest love interest on Grey's Anatomy, Dr. Aaron Jones. Now,
right?
We've got that on one side, and then we have got this beautiful bit of news on the other side. Courtesy of the NFL on ESPN's Twitter handle, Mike White's jersey and game ball from his win in his Jets debut have been added to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Chris. His 37 completions, the most by a QB in their first start, and he joins Cam Newton as just the second QB since 1950 to throw for 400-plus yards in a debut. White Mike is in the Hall of Fame, baby.
Well, listen, man, the Jets felt like they were getting a Hall of Fame quarterback this offseason. I just don't think they thought it was Mike White. They thought it was going to be Zach Wilson. But listen, man, it's at the point now where we're going to have to start referring to Mike effing White as Mike Frank White, as in the King of New York. Like, that's how great his performance was on Sunday in the upset win against the Cincinnati Bengals. And people are going to have to start putting some respect on his name. And all of a sudden, that game on Thursday Night Football just got a whole lot more interesting with them matching up against the Indianapolis Colts. I'm just saying.
That's Hall of Famer Mike effing White.
Yeah. Put some respect on it.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. Chris, with all this NFL news going on, this kind of sort of found its way under the pile a little bit, but wanted to get into the latest that we'd heard on Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. The star guard has been away from the team since the start of the season here. He showed up to training camp, appeared disinterested in playing, and then cited a refusal to practice, talking about his lack of mental readiness to play right now, essentially under that mental health umbrella. Now we get reports that the Philadelphia 76ers are increasingly frustrated with Simmons' refusal to accept organizational assistance to address his mental readiness to play. He's been working with team doctors on a back ailment, but he's been unwilling to meet with team doctors to discuss his mental readiness, sources said. They said instead he's worked with mental health professionals via the NBA Players Association since this summer, but so far, Chris, has yet to provide details of any of those meetings with the team.
Yeah, Mike, this one doesn't pass the smell test to me. Like, if he's unwilling to work with the organization when it comes to trying to find help for whatever mental issues that he's dealing with, then it doesn't necessarily feel like he's in position where he's actually, you know, acknowledging that there's something really wrong with his mental health. Like, to me, that's the part that bothers me. It feels like he's using mental health as a shield not to get fined and not to participate in the practices or the games, you know, in accordance with his contract. Like, that's what it feels like. He's skirting around his responsibilities to the Philadelphia 76ers until they trade him to a team that he'd be willing to play for. Like, that's what this feels like. And the issue that I have with it is, with mental health now coming to the forefront, with athletes having the courage to step up and to acknowledge it in a real way and say that they're dealing with things and even taking it to the point where they're willing to step away from their professional careers in order to address it. Like, it just feels like with Ben Simmons taking this approach and using that potential strategy to shield himself from being fined, like, that's going to have every single athlete from this point on that starts to try to address their mental health in a real way, that's going to be met with skepticism by the media, by fans, and others, in terms of whether or not there's legitimacy behind the mental health of that individual player. So I just don't like Ben Simmons using the mental health angle to try to insulate himself from whatever fines or discipline that the Philadelphia 76ers would give him because he doesn't want to play.
Yeah, Chris, this is the tough part for me in all this, because if you were to tell me, looking at Ben Simmons' situation and what's going on in Philadelphia, like, we said this after he turned down that layup in the Eastern Conference Finals, that this looked like a player who was dealing with some confidence issues that were likely between his ears and not necessarily having to do with his game. If you told me Ben Simmons was dealing with the issues with confidence, was dealing with issues playing in a city that can be as difficult at times as Philadelphia, I'd believe you. But the way that this has been given to us, the way that this has come out, and the the when, you're right, make it a lot tougher to stomach. This whole situation is cloaked with so much skepticism. And that's unfortunate because, like you said, this has become such an important issue that so many people have been willing to share their vulnerability with in public. You'd hate to see it become part of business decisions made going forward. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles and helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com.